Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So with wide receiver conversations in the NFL, of course, Davante Adams' name will continue to come up in the NFL. Not here for Kansas City necessarily, but the first report yesterday morning from Adam Schefter, this is just a sign of the Raiders trying to drive up the price, correct? Because the report from Schefter was that they have received interest from other teams, but one source told ESPN it's not phone is ringing off the hook interest. That makes sense. Because the following sentence said, the Raiders could just opt against trading him altogether. So we'll just hold on to him. Yeah, that's exactly right. That they're not going to hold on to him, but they're obviously not happy with
that publicly.
They're not happy with the current return that they would get for one Davante Adams.
So this is not surprising news. He is owed $44 million next year, or you got to eat a $15 million dead cap hit next year. So the only teams who can trade for you are somebody who can absorb that kind of dead cap hit, or even worse, absorb a $44 million extension, or give him or a $44 million hit, or give him an extension. Like, that's asking a lot of things for a wide receiver who isn't even healthy technically, by what you're telling us.
Yeah.
So I got to trade for an unhealthy wide receiver who's going to cost me $44 million next year, whose opt out I can't even get out of. That is not a valuable trade asset. Other than him being a good wide receiver and teams be interested in that, that is not the kind of thing where you just go and be like, I'd like a second round pick, please. No, that's a fourth round pick. And I'm sure when you're getting four calls, that's it. And they're all like, we'll give you a fourth. Probably doesn't sound all that interesting to you. But also, that's just your way of publicly saying,
sure,
we'd like more, please.
Does any team, though, go way up in your mind if I tell you they acquire Davante Adams in the next couple of weeks, though? We know the heavy rumors are the Jets for obvious reasons, and the tie-in relationship-wise with Aaron Rodgers, not to mention the Jets are as all-in as any team can possibly be from a front office perspective and, of course, a head coach perspective. They already fired Robert Saleh. Quarterback perspective, you have a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. I mean, so the Davante Adams part is definitely there. The team that I actually am curious if they would surprise people and trade is a team that is playing the Jets tonight. That's the Buffalo Bills.
They would change my opinion.
Wide receiver room, completely different. Curtis Samuel's been a bust so far there from a acquisition. I know he's a veteran, but he hasn't done anything for the Bills. Keon Coleman's still young as a rookie. I'm sure he'll be good as the season progresses, but he hasn't been necessarily production-wise what they were hoping for immediately. Khalil Shakir is their best wide receiver, and he's a little banged up right now. I think he's questionable for tonight's game. My point being is Josh Allen, though, with Davante Adams, yeah, the Bills become, I think, a much more dangerous team if that happens. If the Jets get Davante Adams, I got to see what Rodgers looks like tonight against the Bills. If they beat the Bills and then they acquire Davante Adams in a week, all right, the Jets at least are a factor in terms of that grouping of like 4 through 6, 4 through 7 in the AFC, is at least how I would view it. There's really no other team that I think is in the AFC even really going to be capable of acquiring Davante Adams.
Like, even if it was like, let's say the Jags are like, we're going to save season.
They're not. Yeah.
Look, I don't think so, but I'll just be honest. Their general manager, head coach combo's up against it, Gold, which means selling their soul doesn't exactly do them. We've talked about this all the time. Desperation does not help bad teams just decide to be bad in order to be good in the long run, because if they're bad, they could all be on their ass. And so I think maybe, but like, I'm just saying, I'm using them as an example of if they added him, I wouldn't care. It would not move the needle for me. There are only two teams, I think, in the AFC in which I would think dramatically or at least significantly different than I do now if they acquired them. Not the Jets. It's just the Bills and the Ravens. Now, the Ravens just had a massive game out of flowers.
They just don't use receivers. To me, it's a waste. Like, I'll be honest, if I'm the Ravens, don't waste your picks. Why would you go and trade for Davante Adams?
He's
coming off one of his best games of his career. Yeah. So that's a good example to use today. He had 9 catches on 9 targets for like 120 in the first half or whatever it was. Typically, though, we know the history there in Baltimore. They don't usually utilize wide receiver. So if I'm Baltimore, I would not go trade for Davante Adams, Cody. I don't think they're getting their money's worth at that point.
So if they did it, I would be like, wow, that's a team that is already dangerous who just got more dangerous, right? Significantly more dangerous. dangerous because the number of weapons you can surround around Derrick Henry, who's currently on pace for 1,995 rushing yards, so 5 yards short of a 2,000-yard season, if you coupled it with actual receiver weapons, I'd be scared because I saw the tight ends for the Ravens do well against Kansas City. They would then have real offensive weapons. So the fact that they can and are the best run defense in the NFL doesn't matter as much for facing the Ravens. It would be that they could attack you in a number of different ways instead. And so they would change my opinion a little bit. Not like, oh God, now they're better than the Chiefs for sure, but they would change it a lot, them and the Bills. The Bills are the obvious answer, I would say, at this point, because the Bills are the only team whose wide receivers I don't feel like I know all that well. I'm just taking guesses on whether or not I think they'll end up being good. Like Shakir, I think, is good. Samuel stinks. Keon Coleman's fine. He might be, honest to God, the funniest part about Keon Coleman is they might have replaced Gabe Davis with Gabe Davis. That might be, Keon Coleman might just be Gabe Davis, which is fine. You could do worse than a wide receiver than Gabe Davis, but it just feels like they replaced one guy Coleman, who's kind of a one-trick pony with another.
9 catches, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Keon Coleman so far.
That's Gabe Davis. You just gave me Gabe Davis' stat line from last year, I'm pretty sure, through the first 5 games.
What's Gabe Davis' stat line through this year? Now, in fairness, Xavier Worthy, 12 catches, 179 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They almost have identical stat lines.
Oh, it's not an insult. Gabe Davis worked for their offense acceptably.
No, I'm saying between Worthy and Keon Coleman, because we all know the Chiefs trade with the Bills, yeah. And then they still got Keon Coleman, and all the jokes were there. And Worthy on opening night had the 2 touchdowns, and so everybody was clowning the Bills on that night. I'm just saying that Worthy and Keon Coleman, to this point, have the exact same production.
Worthy's got 1 extra touchdown and probably some rushing yards that Keon Coleman doesn't have, but... Yeah,
I just thought receiving, enough. But yeah, for sure.
Funny enough, Gabe Davis, 17 catches, 204 yards and 2 scores. So almost identical to the stats we just gave you for the other two guys. But yeah, that's the only team that I would regularly think makes me think about that because that's just the way it is. Now, I'll say the Jags, back on them for just a second. Have you ever heard a coach say something so stupid in a post-game thing? I for the life of me, cannot understand why Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, would go on a limb to say, we need a culture change, knowing that he's the head coach. Have you ever heard a head coach say that about their team?
Only when they're hired initially, Cody. When you know, when the new head coach comes in, they say, hey, we got to change the culture around here. Like,
yeah,
okay.
I remember them saying that like when JJ took over like being general manager, or when Andy Reid took over being the head coach of the Chiefs.
So yes, I've heard a head coach bring up changing the culture plenty. Usually not when things are going terribly and you've been there for a couple years and you are on the hot seat. You know, that's what happened with Doug Peterson.
We've got to change. It's all of us, coaches, players, everybody. We have got to change right now that culture. Otherwise it just gets out of control. Right. It's we're on a slippery slope. We're right on the cusp of that slope. And at some point we just have to, enough is enough, and you got to have enough pride and figure out a way.
At some point, enough is enough. I mean, I feel like he was turning in his resignation right there.
Did he quit?
Enough is enough. We're right on that cliff of we're about to fall off that cliff. Like, I mean, he's not stupid. He knows his job is on the line. He knows, but
it sounded like he quit. It didn't sound like he knew his job was on the line. It sounded like he quit.
To me, it sounds like a guy that knows that he's in London for 2 weeks. They just played a game. Now they get the Patriots. Sounds like he knows, like, oh, we're not going to fire me while the whole team is still in London, because I have to be here for, the team is here. But after my final game in London, if we lose to the Patriots in London next week, yeah, I'll be fired on that flight back.
Is the theme of the year get fired on your way back from London?
It happens a lot. That's usually after, it means you're usually going on a bye week too.
Because that already, the one coach firing we had this year was after the transatlantic flight back to New York City. It seems like Doug Peterson might be facing
Here's
a similar
the history
thing.
Of NFL coaches fired after London losses. So this is a real thing so far. This year was Robert Saleh. 2015, Joe Philbin with the Dolphins. 2014, it happened with Dennis Allen. And maybe it'll happen with Doug Peterson if they lose to the Patriots.
Slightly longer break. It's only been 3. I'm surprised it's not more.
Yeah, the London thing's only been for, 15 years, if that? 10 years? That's like 3 coaches fired in 12 years of... When did the NFL start playing in London?
I don't know. 10, 15 years ago? Yeah, it feels about right.
Philbin might have been. That might have been.
07. Sorry, 07.
Okay.
So we're still... It's still a new... in the NFL's history, a newer thing. To have 3 coaches fired since they've been playing in London... I think that's actually a pretty high percentage right now.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.